Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and the time is now just a few seconds before the top of the hour, 10 o'clock. Coming up this morning on The Boo at 10:15, it's Flashpoints, an evaluation of Hillary Clinton's response to the Brussels bombing, and a victory for U.S.-Palestine activist Rozmia O'Day. And at 11 on the Radio Zine, we speak with journalist Ann Newman about her new book, The Good Death, an exploration of dying in America. And later in the hour, we hear from Molly Worthen, an assistant professor of history at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, on the new law there that allows for discrimination against LGBT people. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. You're not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And next up on The Boo, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Problem with Privilege, a four-week class hosted by the Portland Underground Grad School starting April 4th at 6:30 p.m. This class is for those who want to name and correct liberal racism, who want to understand and interrupt isms, and who want to be a powerful ally and take on race issues and white fragility without co-opting the issues. Again, that's The Problem with Privilege, a four-week class hosted by the Portland Underground Grad School starting April 4th at 6:30 p.m. at Hatch, 2420 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. Information on how to register for the class and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, March 30th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today, a little weather, sunny with a high around 70. Fancy that, 70 degrees. And calm winds becoming 5 to 7 northeast. Tonight, look for clear skies and low around 44. Not much in the way of wind. And tomorrow, dawns bright and sunny with a high reaching around 71. Not much wind. And tomorrow night, again clear and lows around 45. Our guest today, Jody McCaffrey, is back as promised because there are enormous changes taking place down in around Jordan Cove in Coos Bay. You, just when you think you have something to celebrate, all that hard work is rewarded with one small, simple victory. And then you find out that the powers that be, many of them transnational companies, are working to undermine all of that over a holiday weekend, as is always the case. They're busy at work breaking the law. A lot more on that today. And we also hope to be able to reach Steve Horn with the Smog Blog, answering the question, where do the remaining presidential candidates stand on climate issues? Well, it's not difficult to guess on that one. Donald Trump, of course, it's always business before forests, and pretty much the very last meager remaining remnants, traces of our natural resources, our trees, streams, rivers, shores, all that will be privatized, sold off, and ruined. We know Trump, and we've seen his work before. On the other hand, Ted Cruz is not a lot better. In fact, in some cases, he's worse. God, of course, gave America to Americans to do what they will with it. And what they will is infinite expansion, far beyond the carrying capacity of the land. That said, we hope to reach Steve a little bit later in the show. There's a few other headlines. Isn't it funny how undocumented immigrants, those who are fleeing horrible, horrible conditions, terrible dangers and hopelessness in their home countries, are treated as criminals, whereas the CEOs and the COOs, CFOs and so forth, all those C's, of foreign transnational companies that come into, for example, let's just say, Jordan Cove, and want to destroy that, they're welcome. It's just fine. Come on in. Yes. And do you have your papers and your documentations? Never mind. We'll take care of that later. Or we could just like bend the law and let you in now. That's how it works. Some people are criminals for trying to work in this country, and others are leaders of industry and welcomed with open arms on Wall Street. That's how it rolls here. The Supreme Court handed down organized labor a major victory yesterday, deadlocking 4-4. See what happens in a case that had threatened to cripple the ability of public sector unions to collect fees from workers who chose to join but not pay their fair share for the enormous amount that the unions do for them, collective bargaining and beyond. More on that, of course, and now we are officially through half of the United States presidential election primary and caucus season. There are currently 5 contenders left in the Republican Democratic parties, and the differences, mainly on climate, which we hope to talk to Steve on, it could not be a more stark contrast. It is very important to think about that. It's very, very important to involve oneself with some of the intricacies of this election, which, in fact, it's not an election because we don't have democracy. We have capitalism. And under capitalism, you have an auction. So the presidency is being auctioned off to the highest bidder. There are anti-Muslim leaders advising Donald Trump, not just the environment, as we think of it, that green one with trails through it, but also the social environment. And apart from Donald Trump's army of thugs that are pleased to go about their business beating people up, we also have his cadre of anti-Muslim leaders who are right there whispering in his ears. Yes, that's right. Absolutely. Just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, then we have the list of names of the anti-Muslim so-called leaders that are talking to Trump. Civil liberties, of course, are definitely on the chopping block at the moment, and the situation looks to get far worse before it's over. Lawmakers in 18 states are considering bills that would increase poor people's rights to free lawyers in certain civil cases. That's good news, but the nature of these new law changes is a little bit disheartening. Back here in Cascadia, the sheep in wolf's clothing this week, 2 weeks after the signing of new legislation upholding state law that delisted the gray wolf as endangered. No less than Ellen Rosenblum, Oregon's top attorney, has now launched an effort to end wolf advocates' lawsuit once and for all. We don't think when we do these things. We don't look at the future. We are only programmed for short-term response, which is why we are on the verge of snuffing out life on the planet. Does nature care? No, nature doesn't care because nature is not sentimental like us. Nature doesn't cry over dead babies or huge fires that consume entire nations. No, nature just goes about her business, and we have no insight into what the end game is because we are ill-equipped to see beyond the immediate road in front of us. And on that note, let's welcome Jody McCaffrey back to KBOO. There's more to talk about down in Coos Bay. Good morning, Jody. Thanks for being with us again.
Thanks for having me.
Let's continue. Let's take up where we left off. There have been yet another round of changes. It seems that the corporate interests that are working down there are oblivious to laws, or they are more than happy. They go about their business as though there were no law, or as though it's going to be no bother at all to simply change existing laws for their convenience. What happened? And can you talk a little bit more about what took place over the Easter weekend while we were not paying attention, any of us?
Well, the Coos County Commissioners put on their agenda under the consent calendar approval of a right-of-way and easement with the Williams Pacific Connector Gas Pipeline.
Yeah.
And that was yesterday, and also on the agenda yesterday was they're amending the county code for the permits for work in right-of-way. Fortunately, even though we didn't get much notice on that, there's going to be a second hearing after yesterday's meeting, and that will be April 19th. So we do have a chance to go in and try to find out what the language change is, because it wasn't put online, and, you know, comment on that. They also yesterday had a late agenda item that was just put on Monday evening, a request for approval to sell county forest land, and there was about 10 separate parcels. I still don't have a grasp on where those are because they didn't provide maps or show you exactly where they were. So that's what happened yesterday. Of course, I wasn't able to get to the meeting, but someone did go to the meeting, and they moved the easement to an agenda item and discussed it. But, of course, two commissioners voted for it and one against, so it went through. I'm still not understanding why they could do that, because Pacific Connector and Jordan Cove, they do have conditional land use permits, but they have not met those conditions, so they actually don't have the permits officially yet. So I'm not understanding why the commissioners would go ahead when FERC's order's out there.
Yes.
Denying the project. They just went ahead as if there was nothing changed and, issued this easement agreement, which should be very, that's a critical thing to give up an easement. You shouldn't do that lightly. I think one of the commissioners, Mr. Bob Main, was concerned about that, because once you give up an easement, and this is for landowners out there, that's a permanent easement, and you better make sure that language is exactly correct, because you're not going to get that back once you give it up.
How does that work? When you talk, what is the importance of the easement to the project that they want to ramrod through?
Well, the easements for this pipeline, once you give them the easement, whether they take it by eminent domain or you negotiate with them, you can't do stuff on that property. You will pay taxes on that as a private landowner. You'll pay taxes, but you won't be able to build on it. And there's limited. You can't grow trees on it. So if it's in forested areas or timber areas, you're not going to grow trees on that easement.
And farming? What about farming? If someone has farms, suppose there is a farm there that has been in the family for generations, and they grow a farm to market vegetables. What about that?
They can still farm on it. That can still happen, depending on what they're growing. And usually farm crops are okay, as long as they don't have deep roots that go down, you know, beyond the 3 foot to 5 foot.
What? What? Wait a minute. What? that's absurd. Are they going to go out there and dig a big hole to see how deep the roots go?
Well, the thing about it is that you're at risk. I mean, if the pipeline isn't buried deep enough and you're out there farming, all you got to do is hit that pipe and that's the end of you.
But
you're always at risk of having an accident, or if there's a pipeline problem. I mean, huge craters have been created from blasts from pipeline accidents, even out in rural areas. We don't always hear about these because they don't usually kill a lot of people, but they can be pretty significant.
Well, and also, before we let you go, one very quick last question. How are people then, in that case, indemnified? How are they covered in the event of something of that sort?
Well, that has to be all in the emergency response plans that I have never seen any of those, so I don't know that they've even...
Are they available to the public? Could we request the emergency?
We could request them. A lot of times they're telling us that they're proprietary.
Right.
And can't be told what they are, so we don't know if they have plans or not.
Well, this is the thing. This is our coast. This is part of Oregon. This is what we think of when we think of Cascadia. There are so few people that fight 100% year-round all the time on this. Everyone down in that area, in Coast County, around Jordan Cove, it is absolutely critical to stand up right now. Jody, thank you so much. My guest has been Jody McCaffrey with Citizens Against LNG, working constantly on this. This has been at Cascadia for Wednesday, March 30th, 2016. Patsy Kohlberg engineered for us today. Thank